Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. Would like you to stop by there and send me an email. Let me know what you think of these studies, whether you find them interesting or boring or just about anything you want to say. If you want to question, if you want to challenge, I'm way open for it. If you think you can correct me, well, then please correct me, because if I'm wrong on any point, scripturally speaking, well, I want to be right, because I don't want to be out here teaching error in ignorance by mistake, because believe me, I'm not going to teach any error on purpose, and don't want to be that. Don't want to be one of those. We're going through the book of Malachi right now, and our Heavenly Father, He tells the priests, He tells the people here that He says, you know, if you're obedient, He says, these are the things. I will open you the windows of heaven. And of course, tithes and offerings are part of that obedience, because when our Heavenly Father moves you to give, well, then you should give. I mean, isn't He the one who gives you everything? So if He moves you to give something that He's given you to somebody else, then you're just acting in obedience to Him by distributing what is His, basically. I mean, if you belong to Him, you know, so many people say, well, I've given myself, my life to the Lord, but, you know, then they reserve all of these things for themselves, areas of their life where they're going to be Lord. And then they say, well, you know, God has provided that I can do this. Well, yes, of course He has. You know, our Heavenly Father has provided that we can all act in disobedience. It doesn't mean it's right just because He allows us to do it, because He allows avenues of disobedience to exist. And think about it. He allows those avenues of disobedience to exist because they are a judgment. And whether we take advantage of those avenues of disobedience or not is a judgment to us. It tells us who we are, what kind of man or woman we are. Do we choose righteousness or do we choose unrighteousness? That's the judgment. This is the judgment here. We are being judged by our actions every day. Do we choose obedience or do we choose disobedience? There's our judgment. And so many people are deceived into thinking that their disobedience is obedience because God wants them to be happy. I hear things like this all the time. Well, God wants me to be happy. So if not having children and practicing birth control makes me happy, then that's okay with God. After all, He provided birth control. Right? Well, there's your judgment. You've chosen not what makes Him happy. That's what it means to love God. You do what makes Him happy because you love Him. But you've chosen what makes you happy. You're a lover of yourself rather than a lover of God. Come on, wake up, people. This is reality here. I know this can't be a very popular message in a society in a day where men are nothing but lovers of themselves, nothing but man-pleasers, like Esau. He was a man-pleaser. People loved Esau. Esau only cared about one thing, and that was, one, what he wanted, and two, what other people thought about him. Now, let's be a Jacob. Let's not be an Esau. He says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And I'll tell you what, when you choose what pleases you over what pleases God, the reality is you're not a lover of God. You are a hater of God. You go, oh, I don't hate God. Because you think hate is this illusory feeling. You know, it's like love. The world has reduced love to a feeling. Well, I can't marry him, Dad. Because I don't love him. I don't have romantic feelings for him. No, love is what you do after you get married. It's not what you feel before you get married. I'll tell you what, yes, chemistry is important. Being attracted to someone is important. All those things are important. They aren't essential, but they're nice if you have them. But obedience trumps all of that. It certainly does. And that's what our Heavenly Father is looking for, a people who love Him so much that they will choose obedience to Him over obedience to their own will and what makes them happy. Because the truth is, when we're obedient to Him, it ain't about what we feel will make us happy, but that is the thing that will really make us happy. It will give us that joy, that inexplicable joy, and that peace that passes all understanding. That's what obedience to Him brings. It doesn't bring the immediate self-gratification that the world is looking for, that you are trained by the world and the movies and the commercials and the public school to look for that instant gratification, and all the commercials and the novels and all of the sitcoms. They're training you for one thing, to look for what makes you happy, what you feel will make you happy. Lovers of selves rather than lovers of God. And when you look to please yourself before Him, you are a hater of God. And that's why Esau was a hater of God. Esau probably would never have said, "Well, I hate God." He probably would never have said something like that. But the reality was that he loved himself. He loved more than he loved God. And Jacob was the opposite. His heart was after the things of our Heavenly Father. "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I will not, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground." And you know, these are the promises for those that believe. And you know, we may or may not get those promises in this life, because the scripture again says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. It says in this life you will have tribulation. Persecution is for those that believe. But we have forever. This life is short. We have forever for the promises of God. And that's where faith comes in too. Do we believe Him? Well, yes, if we know Him, we believe Him. He's given us sufficient evidence that He is who He is and His promises can be counted on. It is sufficient. And His word is sufficient for faith and practice and doctrine. "All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith Yahuwah of hosts." And of course, speaking of national Israel, that mortal kingdom of God on earth, we know that, well, they went astray as a nation, and there was only a faithful remnant in the land when He came suddenly to the temple. There was a faithful remnant in the land. There were thousands, in contrast to the hundreds of thousands that were there. Yes, there were just thousands that were faithful and obeyed Him. But here's what He says in verse 13. "Your words have been stout against me, saith Yahuwah. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" See, that's the attitude. "Oh, but I love God. How could you say these things, Nicholas? God doesn't want me to be unhappy. He doesn't care if I don't want children and that makes me happy. He doesn't care. Oh, well, yeah, I know he made that commandment, be fruitful and multiply, but, you know, He gave me a choice." Yes, and that is the point. He gave you a choice. The choice is, are you going to do what makes Him happy? Are you going to do what pleases Him? Or are you just going to be a self-pleaser? That's the choice. That's the judgment. And that's what He says about Israel. "Your words have been stout against me, and yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" That's what they're saying today. "You have said, it is vain to serve God. For what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" Yeah, we don't have to keep His law. We don't have to keep His ordinances. That was all nailed to the cross. That's what the new prophets, the false prophets say. The law of God was nailed to the cross. Yeah, they like that one. Anytime that the enemy can use scripture to do away with righteousness. Yes, he's found a real jewel there, hasn't he? And people just buy into it because that's what they want to hear. They want to be disobedient. So if they can find a twisting of the scripture that allows them to be disobedient, boy, they're all for it. They're bought right into it, aren't they? Obviously, it's the truth. "It is vain to serve God. It is vain. What profit that we have kept His ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" Verse 15, "And now we call the proud happy. Yes, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Well, that's what you see in the world today. You know, those that tempt God, those that are proud, that work wickedness, they are set up, they are raised up before the people, and they are made rich in the people, because that's what the people love to hear. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Well, I'll tell you, I want my name written in that book of remembrance. How about you? You're going to have your book written in that name of remembrance, them that thought on his name, those that fear him, that have that holy reverence, that reverence that says, yes, I choose to please you. I choose to love you and do what pleases you rather than be a lover of myself and do what only what pleases me. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So he says, man spareth his own son that serveth him. He doesn't spareth the son that serveth him not, that does not serve him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. What beautiful words, and what terrible words too for the disobedient, for those that do not regard the way of our Heavenly Father. For behold, the day cometh, and we're already in chapter 4 here. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. Who are these wicked? You know, there's this whole corporate church out there. There are people that go to these buildings, these churches, by the hundreds, the thousands, every Sunday. But what do they do the rest of the week? And what is it worth if you, on one day of the week, you pay homage to a building and you listen to the words of a preacher who may or may not be preaching the Word of God? What good is it? Do you think that makes our Heavenly Father happy? If you set about your whole week to please yourself and do only the things that please you, while you hate and despise the things that please him, what good is it? Well, it's not going to do you any good, because he says, those that do wickedly, that's what you call doing wickedly. And that's even worse than doing wickedly. At least the unbeliever who pays no attention and does not even go through the motions, you know, at least he knows what he is. He ain't trying to fool anybody. They shall be a stubble in the day that cometh, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. You know, what a sad end, you know. And that's where the fear of God comes in. And, you know, there are a lot of preachers and teachers out there going, oh, we don't need to fear God. He's a God of love. God is love. Well, yes, certainly, you know, that is one of his main attributes. And it's because he is love that he provided a way for us to escape the punishment for our sin, for the sins of our fathers, for the predicament that we were in. But still, we have to enter his kingdom. He said, you must be born again. To enter into the kingdom, you must be born again. He said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it doesn't matter if you grew up in a church, because I think most people that go to church, they grew up in the church, and they continue to go to the same church that they grew up in, or another one, just because it's a custom. And they think, well, I was born a Christian, and I'll be a Christian all my life. But, you know, as Yeshua, Jesus told Nicodemus, boy, if I've told you of earthly things, how are you going to understand heavenly things? You know, and he said that was an earthly thing, that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again, and you must enter the kingdom. And he said that was an earthly thing. He said, if I told you earthly things and you don't understand them, how are you going to understand heavenly things? Cross the border into his kingdom. That's why I call this program Cross the Border. Because as my master, Yahshua, known as Jesus, called all men everywhere to repent, because he went about preaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom, the kingdom is at hand. And he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the earth, then will the end come. So I'm still preaching. I'm preaching the same message that he preached, the gospel of the kingdom. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, words from his very own mouth. And he was talking to teachers and preachers, and he is saying, those that break the least of the commandments, teach men to do so, they shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. And those that keep them, that do them and teach them, they shall be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he was talking about a kingdom of heaven that was a present reality, because he said, repent, it's at hand. And if you're breaking the commandments, the least commandments, well, you're not doing that in the by and by after you die. You know, the pie in the sky after you die, there's nobody going to be breaking commandments after the resurrection, is there? In the New Jerusalem, the new heaven and new earth, there's not going to be any sin. So how can you break the least of the commandments? No, he's talking about a present reality. And that's the present reality that we live in. And those of us that are born again, well, we've been born again into a heavenly kingdom. It's called the kingdom of heaven. Paul said, as the apostle Paul said, I sit in heavenly places in Yahshua, Christ Jesus. That's what he said. I sit in heavenly places. Well, I happen to be sitting right now in a chair, and it's sitting on the earth. But at the same time, I'm sitting in heavenly places because I've been born into a heavenly kingdom. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus, boy, he could see the, you know how you're your dog gets that, cocks his head and his ears prick up like, huh? You must be born again. Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born again? Nicodemus couldn't make any sense of this. Of course, Yahshua, Jesus was not speaking in earthly terms. He was using like a symbol or an expression that you must be born again. He was trying to relay something in a physical sense, with a physical illustration, something that happens spiritually. You must be born again. That's what he was trying to get across, because at the same time, he says, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So all of you that believe that, well, my parents were Christians and I'm a Christian, so therefore I get to go to heaven when I die. Well, he said that for you. He said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must. You can't just be born. You must be born again. Big difference there. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch, nothing, everything taken away, no root, no branch. I mean, that's the whole plant. Nothing is going to be left. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Oh, and I look forward to that day. Healing. We all need healing. This life has been pretty tough on us, and sin is a pretty tough thing, because the sin that brings about the demise of our flesh, that brought about our mortality, that brings suffering and pain in our lives. We all need healing from that. And we're going to need healing for the sorrow that we feel over those that we loved, or even our own family members that are burnt up in the stubble, that have neither root or branch left. We're going to need healing from that too. But unto you that fear my name, do you fear his name? What does it mean to fear his name? It means that you fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. Remember what Yahshua said? He says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and cast it from you. It would be better go through life lame than that your both body and soul be cast into hell. The Son of Righteousness, an illustration for you, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this. saith the Lord of hosts. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And what does this mean? To turn the heart of the fathers to the children. So fathers that will love their children, that will not deal with them wickedly or in anger, and the heart of the children to the fathers, that they will be obedient, as the commandment says. And that ends the book of Malachi, and I'm going to leave you with that for the day. Visit my website, Cross the Border, and join me next time as we jump into another book of the scripture. Blessings.